Hello, everybody, and welcome to Enlightened Podcast Season 2. Once again, my name is Jennifer, and I have my friend Danielle with me again.
Hello.
Yay.
Yay.
And we're going to do our best to conquer Season 2 of Enlightened.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a while.
It has been.
So I hope everyone's enjoying their summer, and time is going by. It's already August, which is insane.
Yeah. Yeah, that's insane. But,
yeah, it's hard to do these in the summer, that's for sure.
It is, but we've been preparing, so...
I know. Hopefully this is good, because this season is fantastic, as I've said 1,000 times.
Yeah, I'm halfway through, and I'm liking it so far. Liking it a lot.
Good. Good to hear.
Yeah.
This first episode is called The Key, which is fitting, because in season one, at the end, we saw Amy get the key, aka the password, to the emails, and it actually ended with her trying to hack into company emails and trying to expose all the corruption of Abaddon.
Mm-hmm.
So then we go, kind of continue right into it with season two here, and I guess her thoughts on the corporate world, and she kind of compares it to a medieval kingdom.
Yeah,
which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, she says it's, like, built out of concrete and cancer, which I thought was really interesting. Just, I don't know how to explain it. It's just, cancer is an interesting way to describe something.
I guess, but I mean, I guess that's how she sees the corporate world anyway.
It yeah.
just spreads and it doesn't stop and no one can stop it.
Exactly, yeah.
It kind of takes on a life of its own.
Right, I like the description.
But. Yeah, I love everything in this monologue. At first, my first watch through, I kind of didn't, but after going through it a couple times and kind of breaking it apart, I really do love this, and it is a full, solid episode, more than what I thought it was the first time I watched.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And I love how I love her analogy, for one. I love that she goes into the medieval kingdom,
yeah.
which is random, but interesting, and she's like, she only has the key that will break the spell and free everyone and kill all the witches and all this.
So yeah. Like, okay. Well, if you think about it, that's a really good point, what you just said, because if you think about it, what we talked about in season one a lot was her childlike essence, and mm-hmm. she's referring to medieval kingdoms and fairy tale-esque things. And so that's usually what it's a childlike thing to do, I guess. So... it's making it relevant to her story.
Even another layer of genius.
Oh, I love it.
I know. And I love how she answers her own questions
yeah.
all the time in this one. Because she's like, would you use it? You have to use it. And then it just further solidifies like what's going on in her mind. And that she knows she has all the answers. And she knows what she has to do.
Right.
And all that.
Yeah. I have to say... this is the first time ever watching this show that I didn't like Amy.
I loved her in this one.
Oh my god. Yeah, this is... I mean, the first time I watched it, I really didn't like her. The second time around, I was like, oh, okay. Okay, I'll be a little more lenient. But yeah, I didn't like her this episode.
Ooh, this is interesting. I'm interested to hear the parts
yeah.
that kind of turned you away from her then.
Yeah, well, that will be interesting when we get to them. But...
and when we go into the first scene here, automatically we see Amy cutting things from a paper, mm-hmm. and that's setting up, of course, what will be the big story and overall arc of season two, her journalist friend who she's going to meet soon here.
Mm-hmm.
And I love how she doesn't want to get her mom involved. And she doesn't even confide in her. And before, she'd try to overly involve her mom. But this part, she's just like, no, I don't want to tell you yet. We'll wait a bit for that.
Yeah, this is... okay, so this is the first part I didn't like her. Just so she's kind of like... she's like, you know what, mom? Like, there's a lot of crazy stuff going down. You shouldn't really know about it. And I was like, what? You're, like, talking in code. Like, just don't say anything. So I was just...
I enjoyed that part.
I mean, I did enjoy it, but I was like, what? Oh.
Especially because you didn't get to the finale part yet, but I don't want to spoil anything, but I love the building up. I love that, I guess rewatching it from the beginning now, I kind of see where they were going. I know where they were going, and I know what they're kind of waiting for and building to, and so I love that they made a point. It's like a little Easter egg, I guess. If you've already seen the finale, then go back. You see this little line and scene, and you're like, oh, wow, okay, I didn't even remember that happened. But it totally works for it, because it pays off later in the end. And when she finally gets to that point in the finale, I mean, you just feel that build, because I guess somewhere in your subconscious, you remember this episode when she specifically made a point not to tell her mom exactly what was going on, but that there was something, but not exactly what. And that just, like, completes, I think, whenever you get to the finale. It builds up good.
Okay.
I enjoy that.
Interesting. Okay, I'll have to remember that, then.
Yeah, because when you see the finale, you'll be like, oh, okay, that was smart. For them, they kind of, like, planted the seed here, and then at the end, it kind of just all explodes into this amazing thing, which I love.
Okay, cool.
The tension is just amazing.
I will say that the tension is really good in this episode.
Yes, and it just keeps building. I think that's what season two does best, the tension.
Yeah.
I have to say, yeah, because I'm sure even halfway through where you are now, you could feel the tension just going on, and it is huge.
I can. I'm really enjoying it so far. Mm-hmm. It's so good.
Oh, and then I love when she asks her mom if she believes in destiny, she's all no, but Amy completely ignores her, and she just keeps going on no matter what she said, and then she goes into her sword in the rock.
Yes!
Analogy. I love it!
Again, another fairy tale, like the sword in the stone.
I just love it. I do that.
Yeah.
I'm always looking for that sword in the rock fated destiny moments, and I know it's probably me just reading into things, but I'm always looking for signs like that.
And I love her mom after all that when she's like, what the hell?
I know.
So funny.
And even having that idealistic, I guess, fairy tale attitude, it's kind of tricking your mind, I think, into thinking that what you're doing is the right decision.
Right.
And it's kind of giving you an excuse to believe what you're doing is right. It's
right.
Like, well, fate says it's there, so it has to be true. Like, has to be right decision.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what Amy's doing, and that's exactly what I do in life. I'm like, well, fate's telling me this, so it has to be right. It's like making an excuse.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point.
That's exactly what I picked up on when she said her sword in the rock fate. I'm like, oh, I'm totally on this train. I totally understand you.
Yeah, I loved that. Was one of my favorite lines from the episode. I was like, dude, that's great.
Yes. Oh, and her hair and outfit is fantastic.
I did like her outfit.
I love that maroon and blue and
yes,
colors.
It was pretty.
So then she goes to work and she tells Tyler that they're shutting down the apartment. And,
What?
Department. Oh. I said apartment.
I didn't even realize. Wow.
She goes to work and tells Tyler how she from the emails, she learned that they're shutting down their department, Cogent
yes.
Diva, and that they basically have nothing to lose. And in 2 weeks, they're going to be out of a job, so they might as well just take down the company now.
Mm-hmm.
What the heck?
Yeah. And you can see, like, during their conversation, like, through, like, talking about shutting the company down, you just see, like, this huge discomfort there of talking about it, that, like, it's like Tyler doesn't want to believe it's happening, which I thought was a really good acting job for Mike White.
That's true. He keeps coming up with, like, these future things, and she's like, no, you're forgetting, we're not going to be here.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is true. That's good symbolism, because Amy's just always thinking so far out there and ahead and planning and all this stuff, and Tyler's just happy in his little bubble. So that's actually a really good, I don't know if symbolism or what the word is for that, but it's true to their characters, that kind of outlook.
I just heard a kitty, sorry.
I know, my Patchy, she's so vocal. What are you doing? She's sitting on the floor.
Aww. I was just about to say that I feel like my personality is, like, one side Amy and the other side Tyler, because I do look ahead and I'm, like, really, like, a perfectionist in certain aspects of my life, and then other aspects I'm like, dude, let's just not worry about it. Like, I'm so over this.
Yeah. I totally understand that. I think I'm right there with you, because I don't have the courage to be an Amy. I'm not brave enough to be an Amy.
I
wish I was.
I agree.
So I'm definitely a Tyler.
Yeah. Just heard the cat again.
I know. Alright, so now we're introduced to the new character of the season, Jeff Flenders, who works for the LA Times and does exposés and such, and Amy's trying to get him to print her exposé and all this information she got from emails. And the one scene I have to say I really enjoyed whenever her and Tyler are trying to gather all the information and all the lights go out
Oh my
and they're like,
gosh.
crap, security breach, and they're in that elevator and the security's like, so is there anything down there? And they're like, no, just working. I don't know, I had to laugh. Whenever I love their interaction.
It was funny just to see like both of them just like Amy says one thing and Tyler says another and she's
Yeah.
like, I'm gonna lie from now on, or you're such a
I
bad
know.
liar. And
I love her.
I just have to say, did we ever see the Cogentiva lunchroom in season one? I just wanted to bring that up because she was talking on the phone in there and I was like, huh, this is a new setting. I kind of like it.
Trying to remember what that looked like.
It's like,
Where's that?
it was just weird, like, because, I mean, I thought it was the lunchroom because it had, like, a sink there and stuff.
Oh, where's that? Because they were outside.
It's like the part when she calls him,
Oh, that little glass
yeah.
bubble thing. Oh yeah, you're right. Oh, I don't know now.
I don't know,
Possibly.
it seemed very
No,
foreign to me, but
maybe not.
yeah.
Yeah, the whole set actually looks a little different. I think they updated it and changed some things around.
Yeah, it's probably true.
It's just like, I love how everything down there is just glass and see-through. Like, you can't hide anywhere
Yeah, and
in Cogentiva.
I just wanted to say also, before the lights go out and stuff, and they say they're gonna stay overtime, and Dougie's talking to them, and Amy says, well, I'm such a perfectionist, And he's like, no, I don't know that you're a perfectionist. And then she says, I'm super anal. It's how I get, or it's how I got where I am. And he's like, okay, I don't even want to touch
Him.
that.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah.
Him is so funny. I love him.
Yeah.
He's perfect for
Oh,
that.
yeah. Yeah,
Perfect.
it was perfect. But yeah,
Where
computer
were we?
shutting down. That was scary.
Yes. Yeah. And then, so Amy goes to deliver the papers to Jeff, and I love how serious she takes this. She's
Yeah.
like, that's me passing the baton to you.
Yeah. She's so like speaking in code still and like, okay, like this is serious, and that guy's staring
Know.
at her.
How can you not love this character? I guess we're not to the point yet where you didn't like her, or.
This was a little bit annoying, but I forget. I have it written down. Yeah, it's farther down more that was annoying, but this part kind of annoyed me too. But it's more like her interaction with Tyler. But we'll get into that.
So then later she convinces Tyler to drive her to Jeff's so
Yes.
she can meet again.
This, actually, yes, this is the part that annoyed me. Just like how she just like volunteers him to drive. And like, even though he doesn't have any plans, but she's like, come on, do you have any plans?
She's like,
And
well, do you? And he's all, no.
yeah, I feel
Okay.
so bad for Tyler.
I know.
But yeah.
I don't know. I think it would have felt worse if he had plans and then she canceled. She's like, no,
That's
you can
true.
cancel them. I mean, I think it was kind of cute when she wanted to go with him, 'cause even though she was kind of just using him for his car and stuff, but I still feel like she'd choose to take him with her anyway,
Right.
'cause they're buddies.
Yeah.
And it gives them something to do. I mean, I didn't really find too much wrong with that.
Yeah, it's true.
But, and I do love this Jeff character because the second that Amy goes into his apartment, you could just tell that he embodies everything that she wants in life and wants
Yes.
to accomplish. And that's such a smart move putting this kind of character in here right at the beginning of season two, because it's exactly, if you took Amy's ambitions and wants and desires in life and put them into a person that achieved that, there it is. And to throw her in with somebody like that is genius.
Yeah, and I mean, I watched a behind the scenes video on this episode, and obviously they were saying that this is like her love interest, which I could totally see just from like the fact that he didn't have a shirt on when she opens the door, and just like how close they were, but at the same time, it's not cliche. Like, you could definitely see Amy wanting to be with a person like this. And he likes her, too, because he pursues her, like, when she's flipping out. Mm-hmm. He says, well, no, wait a minute, and doesn't let her leave.
I don't know if you got to it yet, but later in the episodes, I don't want to spoil it, but
I got to episode four.
I don't know which one it is. Okay. Let me see what they...
It's okay if you spoil it, honestly. I'll be okay.
No, I don't... I think it might be in the next one after that. But okay. she said something about manifesting this perfect happiness. Like, everything she possibly could have wanted or thought about wanting, it's like, it manifests itself. It just popped into her life, and there it is. And that's exactly how I felt from the beginning at this point right here in this first episode of... It's just exactly everything she wants. Right. And there it is. It's just right in front of her.
Yeah, and it's good that hopefully she could have a teammate through all of this. Maybe. I don't know if that's foreshadowing or not.
Well, I love how also... Patchy, what are you doing? Sorry. What was I going to say? I had a good thought.
I said teammate.
Oh. I got it. I love how also this isn't it's not necessarily a cliched relationship, and it's not shoved down your throat. It's as soon as she's already established in our mind, so as soon as you see this kind of person, you automatically just connect it with her and her ambitions, and they don't have to push anything. Nothing is, like, shoved in your face. It just automatically makes sense to the audience, and I love that.
Right, and, like, just the fact that the fact that his shirt was just a little buttoned up and they were so close, I was thinking to myself, oh, please don't kiss. Like, don't ruin this. And
I know. Yeah.
So I was happy they didn't. But I forgot to mention that here's another thing that annoyed me. When she left Tyler in the car, she's like, no, you should probably stay in the car. I was like, what? No. Poor Tyler.
But I understood, though. I mean, she's right, because she's like, he knows her, and it would just complicate. He doesn't want to be... She's kind of on a walking on, like, a tightrope or whatever already with him, so she doesn't want to introduce more pieces that she doesn't have to.
Yeah.
So I got it. I understood that.
Yeah. I still felt bad for Tyler, though. But...
Yeah.
Because I feel like he's a part of this, or she's making him a part of this. She has the password. But then, like, she's like, oh, no, sorry. I only need you for this. Like, you can't be a part of this. So I felt bad for him in that aspect. But I do see what you were saying, though.
I mean, yeah, there's, like, a time and place. But both of them have their parts to what's going on. And I feel like it made sense for her to say that to him from her side. And I mean, from the general situation, you got to be careful, right? Because this is a new thing, and she wants to sell this information, not with money, but, you know, like, sell this, what her plot. She wants to throw it at him and stuff, and you don't want to have Tyler saying something that would tell her, that would kind of get him away from the idea or anything.
That's true. Because Tyler... Because
this is, like, not her life's work, but this is something she's throwing everything for. Like, she's giving up everything for this, and I know if I was doing that, wouldn't want somebody else possibly jeopardizing that by saying the wrong thing or making him lose interest because of something Tyler might say or something he might do. It's very careful. I could see Amy being very careful because she's putting a lot on the stake here.
That's a good point, because I could see Tyler, like, maybe walking in and, like, running into something or just saying something.
Saying something that would influence Jeff's decision to go along with this.
Right, and also the fact that they will be love interests. Like, if he was there, I think things would have been a lot different with his persona there. Like, maybe Jeff wouldn't have gone after her, you know?
Amy, I think she definitely had foresight, as always, to see that, no, she needs to do this part by herself.
Yeah. And I also, I like their conversation they have, where, like, he's explaining to her that every corporation has people in power who are basically trying to push down the little people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically this, they're coming from two polar opposite sides. One person's explaining reality of life, and one's saying this is how it could be, and this is the right thing to do. And I thought that was a really good, I guess, clash of ideas, and the point of the show.
And they both strive for the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
He's such a realist about it.
Right.
And just kind of tells her what it's like and from his side. And I just love how you could tell that she would be someone to idolize somebody like that and just feed off of every single thing they say because they have all this life experience.
I wonder, you already know what happens, but from my perspective, I wonder if they'll come, to, equal levels, by the end, or if she'll still be, idolizing him, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
And, I'm not going to say anything about that. Spoil anything.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not spoiling that. But, yeah, I totally understand what you're saying, though.
Yeah. Well, I'm interested to find out, so.
Oh, it gets so good.
Wait, how many episodes are there?
Eight.
Eight, okay. I have them all,
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So I am halfway.
I'm trying to think if it's 6 and 7 that I love, or 5 and 6 that I love. See, I don't have them. I know the names of the ones that I love, but I just have them numbered in my folder here, and I don't know which one is which.
Oh, I see.
But, I don't know if it's 5 and 6 or 6 and 7, but 2 of those love.
Mm.
They just kill me with amazing things. I just love them.
I can't wait then.
And I think that's a general consensus. I think most people, I'm in hearing anyway, love those 2. And
Okay.
But anywho's, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yes.
So Jeff tells her that she is nothing really substantial, as you mentioned, but he does tell her what she needs if they do want to write that story. And he tells her, if you can get me this kind of information about the government officials, then we'll have something. Right. So she goes back to the car and all kind of distraught, and she's like, we need to go back. And Tyler's all, no. And then she's all, I'm tired of feeling small.
Yeah.
And for a moment, she had something. And you felt that in the episode. And you didn't. And right here, you kind of get deflated with her. Because you did kind of, you felt that moment of alive that she explains.
Right.
And she totally wears her heart on her sleeve, too, because you could feel everything she's feeling, and she just, I love that.
And the thing is, what you just said, wearing your heart on your sleeve, more of us, as much as that might annoy some people, we all technically should be doing that because, you know, especially in the age of social media, we tend to glamorize ourselves but not show the vulnerable sides of ourselves. And Amy just kind of encompasses who she is and doesn't feel bad about it.
I don't know how you can really dislike or hate somebody who does wear their heart on their sleeve.
Right.
I mean, she's not hiding anything. She just, you know everything about her, and you just, I love that. I admire that.
I agree.
Love that.
Yeah,
especially, you're right, with social media and everything, it's so different. Everyone has all these walls and they hide behind computers and all of that stuff.
Yeah, and I won't lie, I do that too, so I can't say I don't do that.
Yeah, that's how we were brought up, though.
Yeah.
We're raised to do that. That's our generation. Mm-hmm. That's just what we know. And so when you see a character like this that's just so out there and totally transparent, it's so refreshing and a beautiful thing.
Right. And that's another thing, the fact that she says she's tired of feeling small, that's encompassing, what the world is. A bunch of small people, trying to fight the people that are higher up. Just speaking from personal experience, I can definitely say that I have experienced people abusing power, when they're higher up in the workforce. And it's so frustrating because you hear about this in TV shows and movies. And for me, I was like, oh, no, it's probably not like that. I'm sure there are honest people out there. But the truth is, most people are not honest who are in power.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I love this show.
And even aside from, this is going a little bit ahead, but we're on the track of this. So aside from just the corporation and kingdom and her analogy and just that business side of things, just as a person, to feel alive in something that you are passionate about and love, and it's like Amy has this perseverance and this human spirit that just can't be contained and it can't be broken. And even if she's beaten down and fail and hit every roadblock, but her spirit's never broken. And that can be applied to so many things, even personal things or just your own essence of life, ignoring the business and corporate stuff, just in yourself, just everything that you want or want to do in life, to have that moment of feeling alive. And that's just so rare now, I think.
Yeah.
And for her, that's what I got in this episode and this scene especially, of aside from what she's feeling alive about, it's just so, you can identify with that so much, her just moment of feeling alive and feeling just, I can't even explain it, but you know what I mean, I'm sure.
Yeah. No, yeah, definitely.
That's what I took away from this episode more. I know in the context it's about the corporate stuff, but personally you could just take away that feeling and that desire and energy, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love that for sure. That's what I got from it.
Yeah, definitely. I think Amy's like, she should be the spokesperson for all the little people in the world.
Yeah.
Or people who feel small.
Yeah, and in anything they do, if they're in business, if they're, I don't know, if they collect toothpicks or something,
right.
Whatever.
It's right.
Just, you have your own little thing. And you just,
yeah.
Being,
which,
yeah, your own little personality, your own wants and desires and mini goals in life.
Exactly. It's like supporting people because, just to support them because they're alive and they're passionate.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And that's exactly here. It's so identifiable, I guess is the word. Because if someone who was collecting those toothpicks and they couldn't, for some reason, they got pushed down or something, and she has that moment of feeling small and just not, she was doing something important, that important to her, like that toothpick collector. That's important to them, but to other people, whatever. But to them, that's their greatest goal in life. And they finally felt something, and then it being taken away and having a roadblock. And then you have a taste of that, though.
Right, exactly.
And, which is what she got here, is a taste. And then Jeff is even more of a taste and more of a possibility. And and then she says, I don't want to go back to being nothing. And Tyler's like, I don't know anything else.
Aww.
And it just tears your heart apart. Because,
because
Tyler is not the toothpick collector. He's not whatever you love. I mean, he's just existing.
Which, yeah, that's totally right. Like, that's what everything's about, like, today. It's, like, doing things, like, because we're comfortable with it and that's just the way we live. Or doing something because it's right and shaking up our lives and changing them.
Yeah. And just doing what you want and striving for something that you want and just going for it as best as possible.
Right.
And Tyler, he doesn't collect toothpicks. He doesn't take on corporate giants. He just he just goes about his daily life and he's okay with it. But Amy's such a bigger personality and dreamer. And that's why these two characters are so amazing together because of that contrast.
And I will say, like, even though, like, again, like, I can be like Tyler in that sense where I'll be like, I'd rather just, you know, not do anything. There is somewhat of a danger in that, of, like, being too passive about it. And maybe some people wouldn't agree with me when I say that, because that's kind of a dangerous idea. But I think what this show is saying is we are called to do something. We are called to act.
Whatever it is. Collect toothpicks, whatever. And you get that fire. Amy gives you that. You leave with this episode with that fire inside. You're like, I can get that last toothpick. I can collect it. Like, I can do this.
Yeah.
I can, whatever fulfills my soul, how big, small, whatever it is, I can get it and I will get it. And, like, what's stopping me? Just do it.
And that's,
no,
like,
matter what.
Well, the show I watch is Modern Family. I don't know if you ever watched that.
No. I hear it's good, though.
It's really good, actually. It's really funny. And there's this one episode where this little boy, him and his mom used to, like, they used to be really poor. And so they would collect pennies. I forget. They wanted to collect, like, 100 pennies to buy something. I forget what. But there's a whole episode where they almost found the 100th penny. And this kid's stepdad's like, really? Like, what is the big deal? It's just a penny. But it's important. Like, things like this matter. Like, if this is a part of your life, if you're passionate about it, it's worthwhile to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So,
and then And even pushing it further, she's like, let's be hopeful, you and me, we could try to do something and not just be dying. And she's like, I'm so sick of dying. And I love how she had the word hopeful and how she said, you and me, we could be hopeful and we could do this and we have more power than you think, and we can control our, I guess, destiny in a way, and we can do this. Like, you just don't have to sit and just listen to what you're supposed to do.
Yes.
You can go and grab what you want. You don't have to just sit back and go with the flow of things like he's been doing.
That's there's a poem, I forget what it's called. Maybe I'll send you the link when I get it. But this guy talks about like how people are dying every day and they don't even realize it. And he says he sees death in like earthquakes and reactions to earthquakes and to people getting a divorce and, you know, just sitting by idly. And it's so interesting, like, how we think of death as, like, leaving our bodies, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But if we just sit there, we're not doing anything with our lives. We're not living, so therefore we can only be dying.
I think about that sometimes, because I work long shifts at work, and I'm there, like, doing nothing for practically hours at a time, just watching TV and wasting my life, and for hours at a time. And I have those moments where, boy, I'm just wasting everything. I should, life's just going and I'm just droning along.
I don't know, I mean
when you're at work you can't really change it. I guess you're just making your money to do the fun things that you want to do, so
right. Yeah, and I would, yeah, that's another thing, that's a hard thing to say, because I don't work as long hours as you do, but still I know what that feels like. But I'd say even if you're watching something that you're going to comment on and put toward, like, your worldview, I'd say that's changing.
Yeah, making a difference. Fulfilling your own soul moments, I guess,
as well.
Because, I mean, yeah, you're not just sitting staring at a wall or something.
You're not watching The Bachelorette.
Yeah. You're watching something that fulfills you personally, at least.
Yeah, right, yeah, exactly.
But yeah, like I mentioned before, I don't know if it's exactly the writing here or Laura's acting or even a combination of both, but she has that ability to just raise the energy inside you that you just want to let go and do whatever it is. She just has this energy that just builds up in you. Even when I was going back through this to comment and such, I was getting that, like, not anxiety, but maybe the butterflies, like that anxious, just excitement, energy that just naturally builds with the show.
It's like the way she talks too, like she's like, Tyler, we can do something with our lives. Like, you know. Like, it does. It gets you pumped up. You're like, oh yeah.
It's like she asks these questions of why aren't you doing that? Like, what's stopping you? What, there's nothing on the earth that could stop you. Why aren't you doing it? Kind of thing.
Which is also goes to the title of the show, Enlightened. I mean, that's basically talking about, I mean, because in my philosophy class, we talked about this term, and it's basically usually referred to with religion, when somebody would turn to a certain religion and then find enlightenment. And oftentimes we refer to religion, it's actually a lifestyle. So if you, like, for me, like, books are, you could say, are my religion, because I read so much and I conform to books and stuff. So books are my religion. And she's forming something and becoming enlightened and enlightening others because of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really cool.
Definitely. But, yeah, I don't know. Do you have anything else to add?
Actually, I do.
Good. Add it. Add away.
Well, my favorite part of the episode is the ending. And not because the episode ended, but because when they're showing, like, all the buildings, and she's talking about the kingdom again, and I love how she, like, it kind of fades into the picture of the turtle that she saw.
Mm-hmm.
That is amazing, because it's such a hopeful image. Like, it's, like, all of season one, I feel like, referred to that image that she saw, mm-hmm. and it just, to me, like, is about hope, and it foreshadows hope. Like, I feel like good things will be coming to Amy. That's what I got out of it.
I want to believe that.
Oh, okay. Oh, man.
Oh, geez.
Maybe it's being ironic.
After this, I might just go and watch like the last three episodes just because I need to do it now. It's so good.
Oh, wow. Okay, now I'm nervous, but okay.
So good. Oh, you're going to love it.
Okay.
But yeah, I totally agree.
Cool. But yeah, that's all I've got.
Okay. I guess in closing, I have that where I skipped ahead from before. I kind of have it all over the place now. But even aside from, like I said before, the corruption of the corporation and the, I guess, view of Amy being a do-gooder and trying to do all that, it's just, like I said, I guess it's what they want you kind of take away from it, what other people kind of take away from it. But what I see is that spirit that can't be broken aspect. And that's what I just love about this show, because that's what it is, in my opinion. It's further than just corporate. It's further than just trying to do good and expose bad things and just being selfish with their job or however people see it. I see it as this general just spirit, this human spirit that's so strong. I love that.
Yeah, and also what you just said about spirit not being broken. There are too many shows and movies where you see these people who really want something, and then the climax is that they give up, and then somehow something comes to them that makes them finally come to a realization, and they go after it again.
Yeah.
And I don't know how enlightened's gonna be, but it doesn't seem like that. It just seems like just never give up, no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So it's so much of not caring what other people think and just doing what fulfills you. And I guess that's kind of selfish. I could see the selfish side of that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what else? You can help other people. She can try to help other people, too.
Exactly, yeah. Like, it's not just personal things. I mean, sure, personal things matter, but what she's doing also is a much bigger scale than just herself.
But, yeah, I guess that's season 2, episode 1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, nice phew, setup. I can stop sweating.
I know. See that? Oh, that energy. And I know. So intense. It just builds. This show just pulls so much out of you. It's exhausting.
Yeah, it's so true.
It is. And I can't wait to do episode 2, season 2, episode 2. And
yeah, definitely.
I can't wait for you to get to 5, 6, 7.
Yeah, I'm very excited to see how this ends.
Yes. But, yeah, I guess that would conclude then. Do you have a favorite moment or anything that you want to throw out there?
I guess, I'd still say the turtle thing. Mm-hmm. The shot of the turtle, that'd be my favorite. What about you?
I gotta say the, sword in the rock fate.
Ah, nice.
That's my favorite.
That was a funny line.
Yeah, like when I went into this, I remember coming out of the season 1 and going into this and having a new feel to it, and then right off the bat, she's like, sword in the rock fate. I'm like, oh, this is why. I love it. I love this show. I get it. I love this. It's in my wheelhouse, and it's fantastic.
I kind of also love the whole Dougie thing where she's like, yeah, I'm a perfectionist.
Yeah.
That was pretty good, too.
It's so good.
Yeah, it definitely is, like, it has its funny moments, but it's not obvious, which I love.
Right. Yeah, it's so hard to call it a comedy, a drama. It's just so good and unique. It's fantastic. Yeah. I'm so glad it exists.
Yes.
I know, I'm like, sigh of relief. Yay!
Yeah.
That means season 2 has started, and we got this ball rolling, and I'm excited, and I'm ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Alright. Well, thank you for listening and making it to the end, if you did. I appreciate it. You three people who are still interested in this, I appreciate it. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you can at Jennifer_Lynn89. You can follow the podcast at EnlightenCast. You can send an email to EnlightenPodcast@yahoo.com. Yeah, I think that's everything.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Hey, I want to ask this, Danielle. Are you with me the rest of the season? Are you going to stick it out?
I think so.
Yes.
I want to.
I am not alone anymore. This is so exciting. Okay.
Feels good, huh?
All right. So, everyone, me and Danielle will see you next time, whenever that may be. Hopefully it won't be as long. I don't know.
Hopefully not, but
schedules are hard and timing is hard, but we'll try to do it. But so me and Danielle will see you soon.
Yes. Hopefully our internet behaves.
I know. Yes. Technical difficulty last week. We apologize.
Yes. But we're up and running now. Yay. Yes.
Season 2, the ball has started rolling. It's just going to keep going. All right. Then we'll go into, hopefully we'll have the second one up soon. So yay.
Yay.
Thank you for listening. I am Jennifer.
And I am Danielle.
And we bid you goodbye.
Farewell.
Fare thee well.